Little, are you ready to bless us with the word of God? Lekker. Let's give him a hand.
As ready can be.
So they always introduce people, right, when they come to speak. So this is Errol Valentine, and he comes from Musimux, just opposite the road. So let's welcome him again. Errol, there we go.
It's not often I get welcomed back here to the church. Hey, that's a lekker feeling. You know, you know what's amazing about this morning is that, firstly, Kathleen, thank you for being obedient to share that word. Because, you know, in preparing for what God is doing, you get challenged as a person preparing God's word. And when you go through that refiner's fire, you come here and you say, and this is the T's and C's, the terms and conditions for this morning. I've prepared, but I'm unprepared. Because you know what? God is in control. I'm going to ask us just to close our eyes. I'm going to commit this time to the Lord. There's so much that's happening. You know, when Sheldon and the team led in worship before I pray, there was one felt chains breaking, especially in the last part of the service. And this morning is about that. It's about, for me and for us and for the leadership and others, that we're hearing God all the time saying that I want my people to be free. And so whatever's going to be shared this morning is for your and our freedom and what that looks like, and we'll talk into that. Lord, we commit this time to you. Thank you that we can feel and sense and understand that your Holy Spirit is here. Lord, we commit this time to you, Father God, and we pray that you have your way, that you have full control of this meeting. Lord, as your vessels, we commit ourselves to you. Sinners saved by grace, Lord God, understanding that today, as we preach your word, as we, Father God, share testimonies, as we understand, Father God, what you are doing in our lives, we pray that chains will break off, that people will stand and we will stand free, Father God, from the spirit of this world that is trying to press in on us, that we stand in the freedom and the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that your word will go forth. It will never turn void back to you, Lord God. It will come and cut and divide that which must, oh Father God, split and take off that which is not of you, that which is carnal, and it will bring into order, oh Father God, what the Spirit of the Lord requires of it today. We commit our time to you. We pray, Lord God, won't you have full control. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's a couple of things we're going to do this morning. Daniel, if you don't mind, don't you want to just put up that declaration for me, please? And I want us to look at this, and I'm going to give context to what's going to happen this morning. Now, for those that are visitors here this morning, firstly, I would like to speak to you is to help you understand what this morning is about. That we're speaking into a series, and there's a couple of preachers that has taken place already. Now, for some people, when they visit a church and people speak about money, then they say, oh, that's all the church wants of my money. So I want to release you as a visitor to be free in Christ, because we don't want your money. When we're preaching about this today, it's about our freedom in Christ. And so as a church, as a leadership, we are speaking and teaching through God's principles to help us understand. So you're coming at a part that we're now almost halfway through this series. And secondly, for those that are visitors, you can there's a podcast if you'd like to listen to the others. You can go to the info desk. They'll explain to you. You can give your WhatsApp details, and they'll send you the link, and you can kind of listen to it. Now, I'm going to put this up for a reason. I'm going to read this. But I'm going to read, secondly, the reason why we're doing this. And there's a whole other couple of things that we're going to declare. But now I'm going to also explain who this is for. And it's not to separate, but I just want to be obedient to what God is doing in the life of the babe. And maybe something worth noting, when Tino said that, the apostle said, I could feel a shift in the room. Because who appointed Sheldon as an apostle? We got to understand here, firstly, that as a church, that we are apostolic in nature as a church. We understand as a church, we've taught into the fivefold ministry. And so when we speak about the office of an apostle, it comes with exactly what Tino said. And I felt exactly the same word, that what we're going to do, that some of us that are required and understand the ranking of God, that there are some of us that's going to actually pray over a few people this morning, because of where God has positioned and called us into. Now, this doesn't separate. We've got to understand when the apostle anointing is present and with the fivefold ministry is made manifest in the life of the church, the blessing of God will flow. And I'm speaking to the mature. Because if you are grappling with this, I'm not saying you're immature, then there's a lack of teaching and understanding that must take place. And we have taught on this. And we have it in the history with our on our website and a few things that speaks into this. And so we want to acknowledge what God is doing in this house this morning and at the Bay. Is he only doing it here? Not at all. God is working and moving across the earth. So I want to quickly read this, and then I'm going to read something and then make the invitation. This is a declaration that's going to go over a few people this morning. I'm going to specify the people in a few minutes. It says that, according to God's word in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace, and this is the Amplified version, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, meaning possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Now, if you believe the scripture, and I want to speak into what a declaration does. When we speak and we use the words that God has given us, firstly, the power of life and death lies within the tongue. The Bible says we can call things as though they were. Jesus spoke to us and he showed us and he says, call out to that fig tree. Speak to Lazarus. And he came to life. Did they pray? He spoke the word. So we have that dunamis power, that power of the Holy Spirit, that when we can speak life or death into people's lives. And when we're going to declare, we need to understand the power of the declarations we are making. We don't do this because it's fancy and nice. We do this because we understand that the words that we speak has life and it has death. It can speak as though they were. Now we're going to go through the declaration shortly. What I'm going to ask you to do is if you are working for either company or for yourself and you earn a commission, whether it's a basic plus commission or just commission, I would like to ask you to stand. If you are in any form of business where your salary is dependent on a commission, I would like to ask you to stand. And now what I'm going to do is, I would like to call Farnes. I know Ray, you're standing, Sheldon, just to join me. Because what we're going to do is we're all going to speak this declaration over those that are standing. But exactly what is happening here this morning, that I'm calling those who's got the gifting and understand the fivefold ministry of what God is calling us to do, is that we're putting spiritually behind what we're going to pray for, what God has instituted in his word. Because you see, things will change and shift, and we're going to see in this declaration. So when the deals happen and the things take place, it's not in your own strength. You've got to understand here today that God will open up supernatural things for those that are standing in this room and others because of what God is doing. Because of your step of obedience and faith. Today is a testimony and stands as a hallmark of what God is able to do. If you have a small business, whether it's just yourself and just a few others and your wife, I would like to ask you to stand. If you're running a little business, this is for you. Now we've got to understand whether you... Now here's the thing. Some of you are like, is this us now? Do we run a business? If you are not unemployed, if you are trying to hustle around certain things, this is you. I'm not saying it in a negative way because you're trying to figure this out. Not unemployed. Listen to this. For those that are in small business. Robin, is your wife with you? Is Julie? Clinton's? Okay. I thought I wanted to just share a word with you before I share some of the stuff. And I know I sent you a voice note and we chatted a little bit, but I felt specifically just to speak to you because of what God is doing. And I want you to understand what he's saying this morning is in light of where you are and were, that he has your number, that he knows exactly what you are going through. In your business, in the way that you are fully at this time, your back is against the wall. But God is saying this uphill that you've experienced is for his glory. You need to push in, you need to press in with your wife. Do not look at the circumstances and the finances, the things that is unpaid. God is saying right now to you and to your family that you've been faithful with little and he will entrust you with much. But you've got to push in. You've been discouraged, you've been downtrodden, you felt quite isolated. But God says he hears your voice. He hears everything about what you've asked of him. He did not forget about you. And there's times that you felt that, especially of late. Now, you know we haven't spoken in a while, but just for this understanding that God's saying, I hear you. I hear everything about you.
I'm not sure, but if there's anybody that wants to stand proxy.
Yeah, that's good. So those who could hear, because it was open mic since. So those who would like to stand proxy for someone who's in business or earning a commission, that's it's you as well. You can stand, please. Okay. Marlon and Lazan, you need to hear this today, that you have kingdom principles embedded in you. Nobody can take that away from you. Those kingdom principles has gotten you into trouble because you were seen separate from others as favorites. All God is saying, you are good stewards. You keep on doing what he said that you must do. You keep on being obedient. Do not hear the other voices. Do not let go of the dream that God has called you to. In the faithfulness of the little, he's continuing. He's shown it to you already, but there's going to be a progression, not just in your business, but for yourselves because of where you've placed yourself. What you need to do is not go to the old paradigm. Don't look back every time. Keep on staying and look ahead. Look at what he's called you to. Look at what he's placed in both of you. There's a beautiful synergy there. There's always agreement in terms of kingdom principles, not business principles. You understand kingdom principles well. And I hear God's voice saying to you as a couple, you need to teach others. You need to show others. You need to get them under your wing and make them understand that what they are doing is not unto themselves, but unto the glory of God and for what he's doing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ray, I'm going to ask you just to stand, please.
I'm standing.
Yes, yeah. Next to me. Yes, I can see you standing.
Okay.
Yeah. Ray, you know, I felt there's such a beautiful anointing over you. That in your heart, all I hear is kingdom-minded. And you keep on hearing this, that why are we doing this? The business principles. I keep on hearing the empowering Spirit of God allowing you to speak into spaces a lot of us can't. And there's an anointing over you that's for marketplace, which we know. It's evident. We can see that. We're confirming that. But more importantly, what I believe God is calling you to do is now to hand over the baton and to make sure that what is in your heart remains in the legacy. That's a word we spoke through that some of us don't like. But truthfully, in the spiritual realm, that God is saying, hand over, empower others, equip like you're doing already with a few. But there is a few that God will give you to impart to them, laying of hands on them, to make sure that this gift doesn't die at some point or another. Because it's a beautiful gift, but it's so rare in the kingdom of God. And your heart expands when one hears you speak about kingdom and biblical principles and marketplace ministry. But more importantly is the gifting over you. That is just through the words that you speak and the things that you do. It's not what you show people, like you've seen. It's just who you are and who you represent in that. And we want to honor God for you this morning as you are leading the business forum of people. But truthfully, it's way beyond all of that. It's understanding kingdom heart of where God is taking the Bay and many others. And truthfully, Ray, there's going to be things that you will not see in your lifetime, like a few of us here in this room. But you've got to keep on do what you need to do. It's you've been relentless over the years to do what God requires of you to do, in the midst of and in spite of. And I want to really honor you this morning because of this gift that God has given you. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to explain what we're going to do, like I said. when we're going to declare the favor of God over those of you who are standing and standing proxy for others, I just want to read this because I don't want to lose my train of thought. You can experience life to the fullest and walk in the blessings of God when you understand the favor of God. The Bible makes it clear that God is no respecter of persons. He has no favorites. Walking in God's favor is a choice that we get to make each and every day. The choice today is yours as we're going to declare and we're going to speak over you. You've got a choice to step into that declaration and say, I believe it, I receive it, and that settles it. Or you're going to try to let your mind take over and try to figure this out. Lord, why am I declaring this? Because the enemy is going to sell a lie to you. To say, who are you to declare this over your life? And we're here to call the devil a liar. The definition of favor is acceptance, goodwill, and preferential treatment. Let me repeat this. You are going to get preferential treatment over others. What we are praying here today is when you step into the room, God will give you favor. Others will not understand this. Who are they? What's happening? You do what God asks of you to do. Pitch up. And believe. Don't sell. Don't be a salesperson. Just pitch up and believe. God's favor will get you to places and in front of people you could never have access on your own accord. Favor is a supernatural accelerator into the promises and the provision of God. It accelerates. For some of you, you are in a financial difficulty and you're saying, Lord, how is this going to work? Do not apply your business principles. Apply your faith.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Kingdom. Come on. Doesn't make sense, does it?
Because you know what's going to happen is God can fix everything in an instant. Just like that. Right. Just like that. It just takes him a decisecond, not even a split second, and it can be done. Just like that. Within an instant. Yeah. Within a moment in time. Everything can change. But you see, are you ready for that? Is your heart ready to receive it? Your bank account is ready, but are you ready to receive it? Because money changes you. It changes you. And if the ground is not fertile, the seeds that God has already been planted there cannot germinate and grow. Because the weeds in our lives has taken over. Make no mistake, favor is not a get-rich-quick scheme or a ticket to a life of ease. Rather, favor is the empowering grace of God that will equip you to fulfill His plans, His purposes, when you are walking on His path. Right. You see, this is about Him.
That's right.
It's not about you. But you've got to be obedient. Mm-hmm. He requires this of us. Walking in favor is not always easy. But it is extraordinarily rewarding. If you don't feel like you are walking in God's favor, you can start today by renewing your mind to the Word of God. Because you see, this is not about our feelings. This is not about how we feel today. God is constant and consistent. If God says something in our lives, then it is so. He says that you are more than a conqueror. He says that. And so we're going to declare, and so what I'm going to ask some of the guys that are here, we're just going to go around, and as we declare, we're firstly going to declare, and we're just going to come to a few of you and pray over you and minister to you. Because you see, at this point in time, it's not just a thing and we move to the next thing. There's something in this house that is taking place, and it's been happening for years, but there's a part that I honestly believe that needs to break the old and allow us to step into the new. For the rest of us, we're not participators in terms of just looking at the arts and say, oh, this is just them. Yeah. We are in agreement as one heart, one community. Yeah. And we're saying, Lord, we stand with our brothers and sisters. And where you are, you stretch forth your hands. You lay your hands on those that are around you. Get around it. Get out of your seat if you have to. Because this is not just a show that we are putting together here. This is something that is real, it is spiritual, and there are things that need to take place and things that need to break off. Because for some of you, you've been walking this treadmill of your business for too long. Yeah. You are going nowhere slowly. Yeah. God wants to project you into where you need to go. So to the rest of us, I want you to position yourself. Go around to someone quickly. I want to give you an opportunity just to stand around someone, even if you don't know the person, to lay your hands on them as we are going to declare this over them. And to the gentleman here, we're going to first make the, we're going to do, have the declaration, and we're going to go and just minister to a few of you as God leads us. We're about the Father's business here today. I felt this very clearly. We're about the Father's business here. So when you are ready, just declare this with us, and we're going to speak this out. Let's start. In the name of Jesus, I am the righteousness of God. Therefore, I am entitled to covenant kindness and covenant favor. Okay, just click it over. Just while this is waiting, just minister to those that are around you. Just minister to them. Amen. I kept on hearing this, and Kathleen was so right and confirmed that chains are falling off this morning. Okay. In Jesus' name. Let's declare this together. I don't need to read ahead. Let's go. The favor of God is among the righteous. The favor of God surrounds the righteous. Therefore, it surrounds me everywhere I go and in everything I do. I expect the favor of God to be in full manifestation in my life. Never again will I be without the favor of God. It rests richly upon me. It profusely abounds in me. I am part of the generation that is experiencing God's favor immeasurably, limitlessly, and surpassingly. Therefore, favor produces supernatural increase, promotion, restoration, honor, increased assets, greater victories, recognition, prominence, preferential treatment, petitions granted, policies and rules changed, and battles won in which I did not have to fight. The favor of God is on me and goes before me. Therefore, my life will never be the same. This is the time of God's favor in my life. That is the favor of God in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Just where we are. Stay where we are. Let's just minister. We just want to minister to some of you as we are around you. We just want to minister as God, even those that are around, just keep on praying. Just pray, keep on interceding. Keith.
Prince of Peace, the Omnipotent. is ready for. He is ready yet. Your mind.
Baba shiti li li baba shiti fu baba shiti. Baba shiti li 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 baba shiti fu.
There are some of you that need to prepare yourself to manage wealth. There are some of you that need to prepare your heart. Some of you are doing it already, and you're going to impart that with others. But I believe this morning, there are some of you that need to prepare yourself for what God has in store for you. Prepare your heart. Prepare your mind. So when you see things happen, don't stand back and say, oh my goodness. But just honestly, be obedient to be a good steward of what He's giving us and giving you. But there are some of you specifically this morning that God will give you the responsibility to manage wealth. There's some of you have a desire to grow way beyond where your business is. And the desire comes out of this understanding that, Lord, and here's the part. Don't strike a deal with God. He knows exactly what needs to happen. Don't ask the Lord to bless you, to bless the kingdom. It already belongs to Him. It is already in the kingdom. But He will show you how to steward that. Don't strike a deal. I keep on hearing this. Don't strike a deal with God. Don't bargain with Him. Just step into the obedience of what He's called you to do. And be a vessel and a steward of His wealth. Of what He's entrusting you with. Jesus' name. You may be seated when you're done.
Yeah, I think it's it.
Yeah, we'll make time. We'll make time.
Yesterday I was interceding. I was praying. And God showed me something. It just came left field. I didn't see it. I didn't expect it. I didn't ask for it. But this is what I saw. I saw us having an incredible time here this morning. I saw the change. I saw the word liberty, liberation, just came out of me all the time as I was walking and just praying in the Spirit. And I had a vision of us going out after the service. It was great. Everybody is. There's great things have happened. Liberty, being set free. And as we walk out, you know, we sort of jam up in against the door there. You know, everybody wants to get to the Sunday lunch. And it's a bit... And somehow it bottled up. And then somebody, one of the managers, flung open the doors. Now, everybody is backed up behind. I see the whole church literally in the foyer. Everybody is just wanting to push in and get out here. And as those doors opened, this is what I saw. I saw people. I saw people standing banked up right from the paving in front here, amongst all the cars, all the way to the back, to Pick and Pay's wall, to the fence. The whole place was stacked out with people. And their cry was, "Help us."
Come on, Farnes.
This wasn't about us this morning. It wasn't about me and you only. Yes, God is good. God's favor is upon us. But there's a crowd out there that's desperate.
Come on. That's right. That's right. Hmm.
And I heard somebody at the back say, "But we have no money." This church. Somebody said, "We have no money." Hmm. And somebody from the crowd responded, "We don't need your money. We've gone past the day when we can just walk up and shove a 20 rand or a 50 rand in somebody's hand and say, 'Be blessed, go my brother.'" What is at play here today,
man,
goes beyond my physical, personal needs. It is God putting his finger, and it'll touch on it, about what happens when the house is in order.
Yeah.
What happens when the apostolic and the prophetic and all the rest of the fivefold ministries step up to the plate?
Yeah.
A city, a community, a nation is affected.
Mm. Amen. Amen. I want to read a scripture and then I'm going to invite Amy and Jeff just to share a testimony. Now, I'm aware of the time. I'm aware of what time we started. So we will meet each other there. Okay? But let's not rush just through this. I'm going to read God's word in Luke 16. It's a very familiar scripture. And I'm going to unpack it a little bit after they are done. Verse 9 says, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." I've never heard a scripture being sarcastic. But it sounds like it, isn't it? I'll repeat it again. "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." Verse 10 says, and this is Luke 16, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches?" I want to invite you to come. I'm going to unpack this when we're done. Yeah. So Amy's saying the Spirit made an ugly cry. We're all beautiful in the Lord. But just before you do, you know, part of what they're going to share is also resonating with some of you as testimonies that God is doing something in this house. A few weeks ago, we prayed for some people who were unemployed. And I know, I don't want to take away with what they're going to be sharing, but for example, Andy, you know, God opened up a door for you and you shared that with us in those last few days. And we honor God for what he's done in your life and in your family, in the difficulty of what you've experienced. I don't know, Mzwaki, I don't see her here this morning, but she sent me a message. She's moved into a new home. They were just renting a little space where they are. Now they've got the whole space. She says, "Errol, I'm standing in my kitchen today, and we have actually just moved into the whole space that God has given us." There are quite a few of you in this house that God is doing things supernaturally because of your obedience to God in the difficulty of what you experience.
Church. Isaiah 43 was a promise given to me about 2 years ago before any of this started. So I'm just grounding myself in this scripture. "For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. In March 2023, we felt the Lord was prompting Jeff to leave his very toxic job. We were not living within our means for a while already. We got some funds in, and we used up all of our savings and all of our reserves. Then we hit every single delay with UIF, insurances, etc. In January this year, the Lord strongly told me to stop increasing my credit card. Mm. I was using the credit card to live, to feed the kids, to pay debit orders. And he strongly told me to stop it. I'm doing it on my own strength.
Yeah.
Then the real test started. We did every deliverance we could think of. We repented. We asked forgiveness. We asked the Lord. We begged the Lord. What is it that is in our way? Why are doors not opening? We got to a point of nothing. We even wrote our petition out. We went into the courtroom. And the most amazing experience was Jesus stood with us. He made sure that his presence was known before we petitioned to God. And we petitioned against Satan. And Jesus was with us. He was our advocate. I just want to read from one of our Bible study books. It just touched my heart, and just referring to the nothingness. There is something about nothing that moves God's hand. He loves leading us to empty places where we can lean on nothing except his provision. If we are not experiencing God's presence and provision, could it be that we aren't empty enough? Could we still be distracted and dependent on ourselves? Emptiness is a gift from the Lord. It tells us what we need. It is possible that we may not be empty enough of ourselves to admit that we are empty. Only God can truly fill us. The end of February, we had about 10 rand in the bank account, but the next day we received our salary. We were blessed with vegetables, we were blessed with food from friends, and that's when we needed it the utmost. Most we needed it. Friends are extremely important. Godly friends. Friends that will pray for you, that will encourage you, and that will help you. And I want to thank this community that has stood behind us. Each and every one of you have prayed for us, and you didn't even know what we were going through. Tithing is very important. We learned this lesson the hard way. The first payment must go to God, and the rest has a blessing upon it. Because of that, I strongly believe our kids never skip supper. They always had something to eat.
Yeah,
God refined us in his fire. We had this unexplainable peace throughout this whole time. We had very hard lessons in trusting God, but we chose to serve him. We read our word, we found our identity and our purpose, and we prayed unceasingly. When so many people stood up for unemployment, Joe's message was spot on. God is working, and he never stops. I know of at least 5 people who stood up there since then has gotten a job.
Yeah. That's right.
And the Holy Spirit told me very strongly, I am positioning my people for what is coming.
Amen. Come on, Amy.
So praise the Lord, Jeff has gotten a job and he can stand up for a commission earning and being prayed and favored and all that. For months he didn't have an interview. Probably about 11 months he didn't have any interviews at all. And then just suddenly he got about 3 or 4 interviews a week. It was just a suddenly. And he started 2 weeks ago.
Amen.
And first salary cleared. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Just want to leave you with 2 more scriptures. Psalm 27, 13 to 14. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yeah.
Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart.
Amen.
Wait on the Lord. In everything give thanks for this, the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Amen.
Amen. I think Amy has literally said everything, but I just want to say about the peace that we've had. You know, I've come from nothing, so I've been there before. But can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go. She's right.
But Amy's never been there, so for me to just manage her expectations as well, you know, from always having to not having anything. So everybody was just, why are you so calm and cool? I've been there before. But again, but God, you know. And as she shared, it's about the emptiness, and we literally had to be stripped down. Everything needed to be stripped down. We needed to have nothing. And at that point, that's when God can work. So I just want to encourage everybody that's looking for work. Don't rely on your strength. It will help you to a certain point, but it always just backfires. God, put your trust in God. Pray without ceasing, continuously. And also, I specifically asked, there was one job that I had an interview, and I was perfect for it. Perfect for this job. Went for the first interview, thought I've got it. But then I thought, I've been in a job like this before, and my family suffered. So I was stressing. And then the second interview, I just felt off. I felt bad. And when they sent me the mail to say that I didn't got it, I was like, whew. It was the weirdest thing ever, but God. And then I said, but God, I asked you, I want to spend more time with you. And what's it? Catherine, you spoke about it earlier, about more time with God. That's what I asked for. I want to spend, Christine. And that's what I prayed for. I want to spend more time with God, and I want to have more time with my family, and the job must be able to give that. And that's what God did for me. So I just want to say thank you, church, for praying for us.
I want to encourage you, if you don't belong to a prayer watch, this is actually a good time to find out more. Go to the info desk, because it's in our prayer watches that for people like Jeff and others, we've been praying. And we kept on pursuing and understanding what God is doing. And so this is a God thing. I'm going to go off script a little bit. I've got a few minutes. And I'm going to share a little bit of God's word. But I'm going to ask Hein and Wendy just to stand, please. Kathleen, I'm going to ask you to come and join me, please. My wife is not here. She's still recovering from the flu. But I want you to lay your hands on Wendy. And you said something on Tuesday that really stuck with me in the prayer watch. You said our testimonies disarms the enemy and disarms people. And that stuck with me the whole week. But it wasn't just what you said, it's the heart of what you and Wendy come with. And I felt this morning you had a spirit of weariness coming into this building. And I'm going to speak to you, Wendy, and to your spirit. And to say, God's got you. The weariness that you're feeling is the expectations of others that they've placed on you. It's okay. And God is here to release what He has over you. Emotionally, you are drained. And you actually said this, I'm done. Yep. And so, Hein, for you, I don't want to speak into your facility and space at Rocklands, but more for you leading your home. I want to encourage you to continue. You have a beautiful heart for your family. But I kept on feeling and seeing this, that there was this abrasion that has taken place between the two of you. And it's not because of yourselves, but it's other things bringing it into your marriage. And God's saying, put that aside. Wendy, today, as we lay our hands on you, and I want to ask you to just stretch forth your hands, that what God is going to do today is going to fill you with what He does well, is the love of Christ in you. You've lost some of that in a while. You've been so anxious because of these expectations that has come onto you. And we speak right now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding over your heart, your mind, and your being. We cut off everything that is not of God.
Yeah.
every word that was spoken. I feel like daggers that was put into your back. Yes, in Jesus' name, we pray a release over Wendy right now. In the name of Jesus, let your healing virtue flow from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet in Jesus' name. Restoration has come to you and to your house. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up His countenance towards you. The Lord is your light and He will continue to be your protector in Jesus' name. Pray for this union, Lord, that you allow it to grow from strength to strength. In Jesus' name. There's ministry that is already all over you. You know this. You've been called. You understand this. But you could not see through these things because, and you could not see what God is doing because of the cloud that you've walked under as a family. We break that in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We just break each and everything that is not of you. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. We just speak life over this family. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the giftings. We thank you for the call upon their heart and their life. And I just saw over you, particularly, Wendy, an attic where you've stored all this stuff. And often it's you think, oh, we put stuff away and it's not bad stuff that people don't find out about me. This is stuff the Lord has spoken.
Yeah.
Over you and dreams and promises that you've put away, and you said, "Well, Jesus, it's never going to happen." And Lord, I see you opening up the attic door,
Jesus' name,
and blowing the dust off these promises and blowing the dust off these dreams, and saying, "God, are you true? Are you faithful?" That has been the cry of many of our hearts. God, are you hearing? God, are you seeing? And Lord, I just speak a breaking over her of these promises and these dreams over this couple,
Of
what they've been called to. And I see you blowing the dust, the Holy Spirit blowing the dust of these promises and dreams over your heart, and that you start believing them afresh again.
Amen.
And bringing them down to the main house.
Let hope arise.
Bringing them open for your children to see. This is what Lord has said. This is what He's spoken over us. But this requires faith.
Amen.
Because you've been so scared to go there because you think, I don't want to be disappointed again. I don't want to, this waiting, this period, all these things, all the emotions that come with that. But the Lord says, you've been through the fire.
Amen.
You've been through the testing and you have stood, my child. You have stood. And here you are standing, still believing, still trusting, still worshiping, still exalting, still praising. I am that God to you. And I will continue to be that to you as a couple, as you believe again. Believe again.
Amen.
Believe again. Amen.
Amen. You keep on trusting God for that home.
Jesus. That's right.
Wendy and Hein, you keep on trusting God for that home. God sees your heart. Finally, you're going to share a little bit. I know I want to fit this in because I feel it's going to help me to wrap things up for the next phase. Okay, and then we're done. Okay.
Third time.
Sure. Okay.
But I promise I'll hold it together. it's liberty. It's freedom for me to come and be myself here.
I'm
okay with that. I hope you're okay with that. So, I was sharing my testimony with some of the elders and we had a discussion and I just would like to share my Antoinette's testimony. First of all, Sheldon, thank you for starting this series. It was amazing. Ray, what you've added to that, you guys set the bar so high. I was like pitying this poor guy. How is he even going to get close to that? And Tracy, you did so, you just that trajectory just went up, and this poor guy had to do it today. So our testimony is that Jeanette and I heard these teachings about tithing and all of that stuff, and we were young in God, and we started growing, and we started understanding, but we weren't tithing. We couldn't. When we started our family, we decided that Jeanette would stay at home. And half my friends said, you're stupid. And half of them were correct. But it was tough. It really was. And I don't want to exaggerate and tell you how tough it was. The people in this room know what tough is. And we decided, our hearts started saying to us, you need to sort this out. And I was like, how can we even start? I don't even see the end of the month, never mind the second and the and it just was
dark out there. I didn't want to go there. I was setting myself up for failure. And Jeanette and I got together and we said, and we prayed. And this is what I heard God say to me. He said, first of all, if you're in a hole and you want to get out, stop digging.
Yeah.
If you're in a hole financially, stop digging that hole deeper. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, where are you digging this hole deeper? Where are you on the wrong side? You're working on for the wrong side. You're batting for the wrong team. Okay, so that was the first thing. The second thing he said is, and this was a toughie, stop giving me the bank's money. Amy?
Mm.
You touched on that. Don't give me the bank's money. Don't take from your overdraft and tell yourself you're tithing. So, am I part of the solution or am I going backwards? And God, Jeanette and I sat and we gave a figure to God.
Hmm.
Way beyond tithing, nothing about that. But we just agreed on a figure and we started putting that down and we started. And God gave Jeanette the word saying, and I will give seed to the sower.
Hmm.
My job and her job was to start sowing. And
the
provider, would start giving the seed. And we started on a trajectory taking us back, and we increased and we grew to where we today can look at the mercy and the grace of God. Amen.
Daniel, don't you want to put on that slide for me, please? I would like to wrap this up. Thanks. This is going to be the fastest preach you've ever heard in just a few minutes. Like, and I just got one scripture to share. This, let me just go for it. You can read through that. I want to read the passage that this reference takes us to. Matthew 6:24 says, "How?" And I'm reading out of the Passion. "How could you worship two gods at the same time? You will have to hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't worship the true God while enslaved to the god of money," which is actually another translation says to mammon. And I want to close with this. And this is part of what I believe we're going to do and part of the series, and we'll continue through this year, is to break strongholds over people's lives. And one of the strongholds that all of us were faced and are facing is the spirit of mammon. Now, mammon is not just money. Let me just explain that reference in that scripture says money, but that word there is the spirit of mammon says you don't need God, you trust in your riches. The word mammon is a spirit that rests over money. Now, money in itself is not evil. It's the love of money, the Bible says. Now, mammon is a spirit of this world, okay? And but per default, a liar. It promises security, significance, identity, independence, power, freedom, and it says it will solve all your problems. People have the reference, the day my ship comes in, you're going to see things, I'm going to do things for the kingdom. We live from paycheck to paycheck and think that is God's way of doing what he does. He doesn't work from paycheck to paycheck. The spirit of mammon teaches us that if we put ourselves into a position of retirement, which is quite good, and we get our retirement annuity and our pension, then we are secure, which is not true. Because we can have that money and still feel out of place with God. I know of people who's paid their bond, paid all the university school fees, the children's fees, there are people like that, and was in ministry. And then one day we did ministry together and he said to me, I've paid all my bills and stuff, I don't know what to trust God for anymore. Let's fast forward in his life. And he was caught with infidelity later on. And God restored him. And I know who he is. I know of people who do not know the Lord. But if their bank balance drops just a little bit, and yet they've got quite a bit of money in their account, they are the most miserable people on this earth. Because the money is a spirit. And if money drives you more than the kingdom and God's principles, then truthfully, that's not the spirit of God. And so what the spirit of mammon, it's actually, there's a history around it. It's in terms of the Syrians and part of Baal and Baal worship and the Babylonian people at the time. But also the Tower of Babel is reference to that. People felt, and this is part of what the spirit of mammon does, we can do things in our own way. Our business skills will get us there. And so we go with that. And yes, God's use your gifts and your skills. But you see, he blesses you for a reason. Manifestations of the spirit of mammon, which is greed. We've seen this. Covetousness. A strong wish to have something, especially that which belongs to someone else. And selfishness. Do you know that that spirit does this? And we got to guard our hearts every day around it. Oh, I like the car he's driving. Ooh. I'm not, and Luke's younger than me. You mentioned that in your preach. But it's true. That spirit says, phew, beautiful house. My goodness, what has he done that I didn't do? I want to get there one day. So we desire after the things that the spirit of mammon shows us. Do you know that we can't take that all with us, by the way? It all burns up. It's going to be stayed as well. Because what is eternal, Andy, is the people we lead to Christ. The souls and the people that we... That is eternal. So what the spirit of mammon does is it brings things closer to us and has a salivation effect. Notice, I'll give this effect to you. You go to the spur, and I said to my daughters many years ago, just count how many people have beer on their tables. They said, why, Dad? I said, I'll tell you later. They said, about 15. I said, cool. I said, look up advertisements of a beer glass. Just in the spur. They didn't say anything to you. The power of suggestion. That's what the enemy does. The power of suggestion is it shows you stuff that you could have if you had money. But then you neglect God. Because I can tell you this much. Some people who look at that desire the car, the house, and then later the husband and the wife. See what happens? The enemy's tactics are so shrewd that in that little desire that you have, it grows to something else. He just plants that little seed. That's all he needs to do. Just plant that seed. You guys have, others have more. But you know what? Look at others, they've got even more. And so we equate our lives and we measure it in an unhealthy way. So the spirit of mammon is so prevalent in our time. I'm going to ask us to stand. That's the preach. Because here's what we're going to do. And there'll be continuous preaching. Nathan is on next week. We'll share a little bit more. I'm parking some of this because we're going to share some more. Because we got to be watchful. And this is the caution and the word we take with us home today. Are we subscribing to the spirit of mammon? Because we can't serve two masters, the Bible says. James speaks so beautifully into this. Count it pure joy that you're facing trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now listen, I quoted that scripture for years while I was unemployed. How can I be joyous in this trial? And I kept on understanding this, that what God is putting into my life and into yours is that he wants us to go through these trials and the tribulations because the testing of our faith is going to be tested. Because the Bible says, how do we please God? By faith. You cannot please him in any way. Not by your works, not by what you do, not by what you own. By faith is how you please God. And are we living a pleasing life? I'm putting myself, I've been challenged by this word more than anything I preached on in my entire life. Because it is real. That this spirit of mammon is after our minds, after our hearts, and after everything that we believe in the word of God. So watch out for the spirit. That's the caution today. Can we declare this over our lives? And we're going to go together. Don't let me read ahead like earlier. Okay. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaves does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Today, I decree that everything that has been locked up and shut up by the enemy is loosed. I declare my days of wilderness and desert living are over. I say I am coming out of every demonic prison constructed unjustly and illegally by the enemy. Every mental block, mind-binding spirit, every spiritual and physical restriction is broken in the name of Jesus. I call you loose from every oppression, and I say I am spiritually, emotionally, and physically free. I declare I am loose to love and breathe and operate in all the fullness and plan of God on every level designed for me. I am like a plant treated. So sorry. There is fruit against. Our fruitfulness begins now. Oh, amen. We did so well. Come, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning that we do not subscribe to the spirit of mammon. We understand, Lord, that we go through this earth, that we have needs and desires. We don't depend on SASSA. We don't depend on our salaries. We don't depend, oh Father God, on our pensions, on our investments. We depend on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, Lord, that today we break off everything that is holding us down. Every chain, every shackle, every thought, every intent. We cancel it in the name of Jesus. We speak life where there was death. We speak dreams, Father God, that was lost. We speak it right now in Jesus' name. We call things as though they are. We speak wealth over us, oh Father God, that we will not lack in this house, that we will not lack as a church, as individuals. We speak into existence, oh Father God, into the very call that you've called us to, that we will pursue, that we will be relentless, that we will not stand back, that we will not be discouraged, that we pray right now, Lord God, that your glory be, that your name be glorified, that you be lifted up. Lord, that we will not look to the left, to the right, to anybody for our help. The help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You know everything about us. You know our thoughts. You know who we are. Lord, you do not whip us. You don't punish us if we don't tithe on time. Lord, you look at our hearts and you weigh it every day. Today, we bring our hearts to you. Cleanse us. Purify us. Lord, loosen us from the bondage of what we've placed ourselves under. We speak the freedom of God into God's people this morning. We pray that we go from this place feeling victorious, hopeful, and trusting you, and applying your word and your principles, that we will sow in season, that we will give, Father God, which belongs to you, that we will, Father God, share our wealth, oh Father God, and distribute it according to your word, that we will understand that none of us will lack anything in this house. We stand firm. We do not waver. We do not let anybody tell us anything. Our bank balance will not determine where we're at. Our position in you, oh Father God, determines who you've called us to be. We are children of the Most High. We are, Father God, not orphans. Lord, we are heirs and co-heirs of the Father. We are the righteous ones. We are the called out ones. We are the ecclesia. We are, oh Father God, we're the head and not the tail. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We bless you now, Lord, as we continue in our day-to-day activities for this week that lies ahead. We pray for divine favor, for open doors, for your provision, for your blessing. Lord, we thank you, Father God, that we will come testimony after testimony to disarm the enemy of who God is in our lives. We come, O Father God, and we glorify you. We pray that the righteousness of God will be made manifest in our lives. That we will walk proud. We won't walk bent over. That we will walk with this faith, not in the proud heart, but with the heart of understanding of who God is and what you are doing. Lord, take your rightful place in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be blessed. Be blessed. Amen.